A person then and a person now can be zealous for a lie. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is watch the news. They strapped on one of those vests. It was a bomb. They walk into a school, they walk into a restaurant, and they blow themselves up because they have believed a lie.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Welcome to our midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. God is rich to all is the title of today's message. So let's join Pastor Bill as his study from Romans continues.
Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 10 this morning. You know, we're in chapters 9, 10, and 11, the most overlooked chapters in the book of Romans. And I don't fault anyone for that because, you know, once you leave Romans chapter 8, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You know, we begin with no condemnation. We end with no separation. And in our hearts, we would rather skip over 9, 10, and 11 and go straight to chapter 12, where Paul cries out that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. We will finally arrive there, but these three chapters, 9, 10, and 11 in Romans, overlooked, yes, but vitally important to us. Remember that chapter 9 has to do with Israel's past. Chapter 10 that we're dealing with today has to do with Israel's present condition. And then in chapter 11, it has to do with Israel's future restoration, that remnant that will be saved because God has not cast off his people. Amen? Listen, it's very important to know that. You know, so many people today, and I say this lovingly, you know, is the fact is they believe that the church has replaced Israel. Loved one, that hasn't happened. The covenant that God made with the nation of Israel all the way back, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, with Abraham, that is an everlasting covenant. And it's not predicated upon how well Israel does. It's predicated upon the promise of God. It's all laying upon him. What God said is going to happen. He will never cast off his people, Israel. We need to know that. They're a clock for us, a timepiece. And now they're a nation again after 2,000 years. Who knows what's going to happen? Especially as President Trump said that he's going to be moving, if I heard correctly, the embassy, the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, Trump, is he shaking it up? Hello. I mean, we talk about the first 100 days. I'm talking about the first week. I mean, this guy, I mean, he is just, you know, he's on fire. I mean, this guy knows how to sign his name. So we need to toot his horn at the same time. But we know that's why we need to pray for that man. You know, I mean, if you see the look on Mike Pence's face, he goes, oh, well, that's what we all do. But we know that prayer is the work. We live in a great nation. Now, with all that being said, remember that chapter 9, probably you don't remember by now, but chapter 9 had to do with the sovereignty of God, all right, and God's chosen people, Israel. Now, when we move to chapter 10, we're going to be dealing with not necessarily the sovereignty of God, but we're going to be dealing with the human responsibility, our part, that we call upon the name of the Lord. God loves us. He sent his only begotten son to die for us. But there's something that man has to do. We have to call on the name of the Lord. Remember that Israel, they stumbled. They stumbled because of the fact is they couldn't understand why God chose to save mankind, meaning the Gentiles. They couldn't get it. They're going, Lord, they're dogs. They're unclean. He's talking about us, you know. Yeah. And he says, no, they couldn't wrap their heads around it. Even though their scriptures prophesied that that was going to happen all the way back in the old covenant. And they also stumbled over the one that came to save them, Jesus, the Messiah. Well, we don't want to ever stumble over him. Amen. Oh, God is so good. He loves us so much. But really, when we look into this chapter 10, we find the Jews are stumbling over the law. They couldn't understand how, are you telling me I don't have to do this and this and this? We've been doing it for 1,500 years. I mean, that's called tradition. I mean, we've always had a white wall. 1,500 years. How dare anyone want that thing to be red or beige? Did you understand what I'm saying? Well, for 1,500 years, they were trying to keep the law of Moses, but then they couldn't understand. You know, all of a sudden, Paul's going, listen, by the deeds of the flesh, by the works of man, by your own self-effort, your own self-righteousness. Oh, listen, that you cannot be justified. God will not justify you that way. They stumbled over that. They just couldn't get it. Listen, and you know what? Everybody else on this planet, they're in the same boat if they're not saved. And they're saying, you know, listen, the most important thing on earth, the most important thing is how to be in right standing with a thrice holy God that's going to judge this world. Listen, how do we do that? Well, you know, everyone in the world, Jew, Gentile, they're all in the same boat, and religion certainly won't save us. No, only Jesus. Now listen, this morning, as we're in chapter 10, just 21 verses, I should finish God early today, probably 3 or 4 hours, and we'll be out of here. But you know, I want to talk to you about there in verses 13, we'll get to that in a moment though, about God who is rich to all who call upon him. I'm so thankful for that. God is rich toward those who call upon him. You ever think of God that way? God our Father, pouring out his abundance, his pouring out? Yeah, okay, you ready for this? Let's begin chapter 10, verse 1. Talking about Israel now. We'll make applications along the way. Brethren, Paul says, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, and may that be our prayer for the nation that we live in. Amen? Now listen, here was a problem. Like so many today, they had religion, but they didn't have a relationship with God. Is this a shocking scripture? Listen, the Jews were God's chosen people. They had the temple, they had the priests, they had the sacrifices. They had the law that God gave from Sinai to them. They had all of that. And not only that, the Messiah, Christ, our Lord, came through the Jews. Are you following me? They had all of those privileges, the covenants and all of that. And yet Paul just said, listen, sorry guys, you guys are lost. You're not saved at all. When I look back at the nation of Israel, I don't believe that any, because we have, remember, Israel's past history, present history, and we have their future history. The only nation on earth that we have that. We have it all contained in Scripture. Think about that for a moment. And here, when we think about this, go back and just think. I mean, Israel, the nation, they have to be the most prayed for nation in the history of mankind. You go back, you're going to find Moses praying for them, David praying for them, Samuel praying for them, Nehemiah praying for them. The prophets are praying for them. And then even Paul says, oh, my brethren, it's my heart, it's my desire, it's my prayer that Israel be saved. All of these incredible prayers. And you say, well, why in the world weren't they saved? We're going back 2,000 years now. Wake up, look at verse 2. For I bear them witness, Paul says. Well, they have, meaning Israel, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They were on fire. They had a zeal for God, it says. But the fact of the matter is, they failed to find God. And Paul, who was a member of the strictest sect, that of the Pharisees, Paul, who loved God with all of his heart, he says, you know what? I bear them witness. I understand. Man, I know what it's like to have zeal for God without knowledge. Remember what Paul said to the Jewish mob there in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 22, verse 3. He's crying out to them. And he says, oh, listen, I was zealous toward God as you are all today. And listen to what Paul said about his being zealous. Man, I persecuted this way, meaning Christianity. I persecuted this way, he said, to the death. I stood there and let people be killed because they, and recant the name of Christ, if you will. He says, and I bound them. I delivered them into prisons, men, women, and children. Now that's being zealous, amen? You see, the Jews had a zeal for God, but not really. They had a zeal for the law that had been given unto them. And all of their zeal, unfortunately, it was fruitless and it was also faithless. Now listen carefully. A person then and a person now can be zealous for a lie. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is watch the news. You know, they strapped on one of those vests. It was a bomb. They walked into a mall. They walked into a school. They walk into a restaurant, and they blow themselves up because they have believed a lie. They hijack a passenger jet, and they fly it into the Twin Towers. Why? Because they believed a lie. They were zealous for that. Are you following me? They were so zealous they would give their life. Now, there are people that have been marching on Washington, protesting. They're zealous, but they're not zealous for the truth of God. You know, someone said, I watched this video, it was so great. He said, isn't it amazing that America has morals only every 4 years? Oh yeah, now I want whoever's going to be in office, he better be the Lord Jesus himself. You have to be pure. You can never make a mistake. When all the world out there that's talking about it are a bunch of hypocrites. But boy, you understand, we have morals now. Really? No, you don't. You don't have any morals at all. No, you want to blow everything up, knock the windows in at Starbucks in New York. You know what I'm saying? And burn cars. What kind of trash is that? That's believing a lie. That's from the wicked one. So you can have all kinds of zeal. But you know the truth is, you better have truth accompanying it. You see, Thomas Fuller said this. He said, zeal without knowledge is fire without light. I agree with that. Now look at verse 3, talking about Israel again. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. In other words, they just couldn't get it. So they were led astray. And look what they did. And seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God, which God literally provides through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. When you believe upon him, his perfect righteousness is imputed into your account, and God sees you then as he would see our Lord. Amen? They couldn't get that. They didn't understand it. So what does this tell us? Well, again, they had religion, which is very dangerous. They had religion, but they had it without righteousness. Why? Because of their pride. You see that word establish? That word establish in the Greek literally means to set up. What they did for themselves is they set up like a monument, if you will. They raised a monument to their own righteous ways. What they thought righteousness should be. And instead of God getting the glory, they got the glory. Remember, go back and study it. That's why Jesus said, you know, you guys, to the Pharisees, the scribes and so forth, the Sadducees, he said, you know what? You are just a bunch of whitewashed tombs. You don't love the word. My word is not in you. You don't love me. You don't love God. No, you love your religion, the religion that we gave you. He says, no, but you don't want me. Listen, no. It says that they were seeking to establish their own righteousness. And if you look up that word own, it means it's yours. So as a personal, private possession, they set up their own righteous standards, and it was a product of their own self-effort and of their own strength. Does that sound like religion today? Oh, if I do all these things for the Lord, if I do this, God's going to love me. No, listen, God doesn't want a legal relationship with you or me. He said, listen, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. That's how much I love you. No, listen. Religion literally takes you back into bondage. And that's what happened there with the Jews. And it says they have not submitted. That word there means literally they have not obeyed. They didn't turn to the Lord. They didn't turn to their Messiah. You know what they did like religion does today? They turned to their own self-effort instead of the free grace. Free grace, free eternal life, just believing in Christ Jesus. And with all of their zeal and all of their knowledge, they missed the greatest need of all mankind, and that is how to be right with God. And there's only one way to be right with God, and that's to be found in Christ Jesus the Lord. There's absolutely no other way. You know, I deal a lot, not necessarily here, which I'm very, very thankful for, but outside of the church. I have many, you know, maybe the radio listeners call or emails come from other states where they listen and so forth, and even churches sometimes, or other Christians. And there's not a week that goes by here that I don't receive 2 to 3 calls. Will you counsel with me? I'm a radio listener. I'm saying, well, where's your pastor at, you know? Well, what, did that offend you? I mean, you can't do, you'd be doing, that's all you would do. Yeah, you know, the radio congregation does not, I love you. But I love them more. No, I, legalism, religion, trying to earn God's love, trying to say, oh God, if I do this, you'll love me more. No, he already loves you. You can't change his love for you. Oh, but I blew it. Now what do I do? Punish me, Lord. Jesus was punished for you. He took your shame. He took your sin. He says, oh, listen, no, no, no. Religion, see, rules, regulations. You know what religion does? Religion turns people into failures. Religion turns people into legalists. Religion turns people into hypocrites because they pretend. Listen, let me read something to you about that. It says in, boy, and I sure hope I marked that right. Oh, there it is. That's when you get older, you need glasses. Listen to this here. Jesus was, he spake this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They trusted in themselves. What a horrible thing to do. And they despised others. 2 men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. You know, a Pharisee, the Jews believed if anyone was going to go to heaven, it had to be a Pharisee, okay? The strictest sect of the law. And a tax collector, the most hated person in all of Israel and sometimes in America. You know, they didn't believe a tax collector could even be saved. They went up, it says, and they went up to pray. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. You know what I mean? And the tax collector, he says, oh, listen, he goes, I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off, he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, our Lord, said this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, as just as he had never sinned, justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Listen, you know, the fact of the matter is that we don't have anything going for us at all except, thank God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were all messed up. We were all disobedient. We were all sinners. We were all without hope, without strength. We could not save ourselves. Religion, legalism. Oh, looking down the nose at other people. Look at that. You know, it's, oh, no. Loved one, that is a sin from hell. Now, look at verse 4. He says, for Christ is the end of the law, or literally we could say Christ is the end of any law for righteousness. In other words, being justified by God's grace. In other words, right standing with God. Jesus is the end of that to everyone, Jew or Gentile, to everyone who believes. Christ is the end of the law. Israel was ignorant of God's righteousness. Why? Because they failed to understand what the law of Moses, what it was intended to do. They didn't get it. They thought it was to make them righteous. They thought, well, I'm holy now, and all these things, because, you know, I've done this. No, that doesn't work that way. You know, Jesus Christ, our Lord, he is the end of the law. It says in Galatians, it says, therefore, the law was our tutor, our schoolmaster, here's the purpose, to bring us to Christ. That's what the law was supposed to do, or does do. Amen? And it goes on, that we might be justified, how? By works? By faith. Now listen, Josephus said this about the Jews. He said, the Jew knows the law better than he knows his own name. What a word. The law. I know the law was given. I know that they wanted to please God. They thought in their own strength, their own effort, by doing this and doing that. But the law reveals our sin. Amen? Does the law have power to remove our sin? No. The law condemns. I've never had the law say, hey, Bill, you're doing a great job. Have you? No, it's always, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You know, if you mess up, you know, here comes the stones, buddy. You know what I mean? No, the law can't wipe away our sin, our failures. It can't make us righteous before God. But the one thing the law can do is that it can bring you to the one who can do all those things for you. And his name is Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about. The Bible says in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. It'll not rule over you as Lord if you're in Christ Jesus. For you're not under the law, but under grace, God's divine favor. Isn't it amazing? Now listen, the law, the moral law is still available. Hey, it hasn't passed away. But listen, the law can make no claim upon us because we are not under the law. We are under grace. Amen? So we don't have to worry about any of that. Verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. And he's going to quote Leviticus 18:5. The man who does these things, meaning the things in the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments and all of that, shall what? Live by them. Now, that's a great scripture, but there's a huge problem with this great scripture. No one has ever kept the law. Have you? No, listen. The righteousness of the law was based upon what man can do. If you want to live by the law, listen carefully. You know, first of all, keep the first five books of the Bible. You got that? Make sure you got all that. And not only that, make sure if you want to live under the law that you keep the law perfectly, perfectly in your thinking, your thought life, in the things that you do for the Lord. Think about that. You have to do that perfectly. Word, deeds, thoughts, every day of your life, every day. Never, ever make a mistake. No one's ever done that, loved one. Think about that. I mean, every day, here you are, you know, let's say you're 80 years old. Man, and for 80 years, you've never done anything wrong, never thought anything wrong. You've kept the law perfectly. And then the last day of your life, you're 90, 95, or whatever it is, and then you blow it. What happens then? It's over. You've broken the law. You're not under grace. In other words, you're in deep, deep trouble. Listen, the Jews lived under the law for 1,500 long years. Did they keep the law? Heck no, they didn't keep the law at all. You know, listen, legalism. Let me give you the definition of legalism. Legalism is a belief that keeping the law and keeping the requirements of the law are essential for salvation and spiritual growth. No, the law's not going to save you. The law's going to tell you that you need to be saved. You see, the law only did was to push us to our Lord and Savior. You are either, loved one, listen now, you're either living the Christian life by the power of another, the Holy Spirit, or you're living it by the power of the flesh. The Bible says in Galatians 3:1 and following, Paul says, listen, guys, who has bewitched you? Who's cast a spell upon you? Having begun in the Spirit, meaning being born in the Spirit, you're going to complete it by the works of the flesh? Impossible. You know, everything that we do in the flesh, unless it's from God, is not worth it, is it? No, God doesn't want that. We have to be led by the Spirit. Oh, I say, Lord, you're right. I don't want any of that at all. So you say, well, Bill, what's the answer? Well, the answer to the Jews and for everybody else is just what the Lord told us in the Word. You know, the righteousness of faith is based not on what man has done. It's based upon what Jesus has done for man. Amen? Look at verse 6. But the righteousness of works, no. Are you listening? Are y'all following in your Bibles, iPads, phones, whatever? Don't text while I'm talking. That's what, you see those signs out there on the street? No texting while driving. No texting while I'm talking. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. He's quoting Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 through 14. Now listen, the righteousness that is based on simple faith in Christ Jesus. You know, God demands perfect righteousness, and what God demands, he will supply. And how does that happen? We say, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but Pastor will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll tune in once again. Thanks, as always, for listening to the broadcast, And until next time, may the Lord bless you.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.